Hello, hello, and welcome back to Organic Gardening for Beginners. You may or may not have noticed that I was actually out last week as I was getting ready for my big garden fair and catching up on a bunch of stuff around here. So if you noticed, my apologies. And if you didn't notice, then welcome back. Today we are doing a listener request, which is all about gardening in the shade and how to make it work for you. And I thought this was actually great timing for this sort of a request because I know so many of us are putting in our gardens right now, myself included, and not everybody has the picture perfect full sun, you know, maybe some light afternoon shade type of garden. You might be dealing with a lot more shade than you would like, or more shade than has been conducive to growing a good garden in the past. So there are some pros and cons to shade, some things that you can try to work with and others where you just have to accept it. And so that's what we are going to dig into today. So my first recommendation with your shade is to figure out what kind of shade you have. And by that, I mean wet shade versus dry shade. And so think of underneath a tree where there's maybe dry, you know, pine needles underneath it, or against the side of a building where it's gravel or just dry dirt. That's what I'm talking about by dry shade, where it's not soupy, it's not wet, nothing like that. It's just plain old dry dirt. Whereas if you have something like a shady spot next to your hose spigot that leaks that you've been meaning to fix and you just haven't yet, or a shady spot that gets a lot of rain from the side of a building that doesn't have a gutter on it, that's what I mean by wet shade. And the reason that I bring that up is because I think we hear a lot about, is it full shade, part shade, dappled, afternoon shade, morning shade, and those are all well and good to know those things too, but in my experience, wet versus dry makes a really big difference as well. And I've gardened in both of those sorts of environments in, you know, little spots in my garden. And I wouldn't put something like a cosmos in a wet, shady area. That's like the worst place you could put a cosmos. But I might try to stretch the limit in a dry, shady area because cosmos don't mind a little bit of dry soil. They don't love shade, but sometimes beggars can't be choosers. And so if you have that wet, shady area, use that to kind of think about what sort of environment that plant would like under normal circumstances where maybe it's getting all the sun that it really wants. Is it something that requires more water? Is it something that might be susceptible to more of a powdery mildew or white mildew? Is it a plant that has more succulent types of leaves to begin with, such as nasturtium or cerinthy or maybe even a rock rose, something like that where the wetness of that soil can be conducive to the growth habit, even if the shade is not. And then obviously on the flip side, if you've got a dry shade, then think about what you can plant that is compatible with that, such as the cosmos that I mentioned, or maybe grasses or other things that don't need quite so much moisture unless you're able to correct that dry soil and make it, you know, give it regular watering. So then, I suppose I should have put this first. The reason that dealing with shade can be detrimental to a garden is because your plants aren't getting enough sunlight to be able to photosynthesize or make enough food for themselves. It's totally not a deal breaker. Everybody everywhere has to deal with shade at some point. That's a generalization, but I would think that that's probably true unless you're living somewhere super duper hot or super duper sunny. I'm thinking like Arizona, maybe New Mexico, but even then. And it is very surmountable. There are tons of plants that you can grow of all the big categories of veggies, flowers, herbs. There are little tricks that you can use to try to extend your sunlight area into the shady area, which I'm going to get to in just a second. And so it's not a, don't feel, you know, hopeless or like, I don't have the sunniest garden. What, I can't grow anything, because there are still plenty of things that you can get going this season. Okay, a couple of other tips I have for dealing with shade is think about your watering and that you might need to water less frequently. If this is an area that is pretty shady, then there's not going to be as much water lost to evaporation or maybe even wind if it's more sheltered and that's what is making it be shady in the first place. And so you, if you are just, you know, a every other day waterer or something like that in your normal garden, then for this shadier area, I would encourage you to be a little bit more hands-on and actually get down there to the soil and see, does it actually need any water? Because you might be able to go more days between waterings simply because of the environment of your shady area. Likewise, with weeds, I would encourage you to keep a closer eye on weeds than you might otherwise, because there is less sunlight in that area. The last thing you want is for your weeds to be competing with your desirable plants, whether that's a veggie or an herb or a flower, to kind of crowd out the weaker plants and take the sunlight or the exposure to the sunlight and, you know, spread out their canopy over your lettuce that you're trying to grow because they got there faster. So I would highly encourage you to mulch in this instance where it's just going to help ensure that those weeds never really get a foothold, and what area there is to send out leaves, put out that canopy, be able to photosynthesize, that space is filled with your plants rather than the weed plants that you're not really going to get a harvest out of. You might also think about using layering in your plants to try to get as much of that sunlight exposure as possible. So think of what you can plant that's somewhat taller, maybe towards the back of the bed, or again, if you're up against a house, and this holds true whether you're in wet shade or dry shade. If you have, you know, say your house is behind your building, a front bed that gets half a day of shade because of the overhang of your house, or, you know, there's a tall tree in your yard and you're building against the back of that or the trunk of that, or even a fence can cast shade as well. Put your tall stuff in the back and then layer your way down shorter towards the front. And that way you can kind of build these stories of your taller plants, your medium sized plants, and your shorter plants and or ground covers, so that they kind of occupy their level of sunlight. And it, depending on what you grow, if your taller plants in the back are also really stocky or bushy, they might start to drape out over your medium and smaller plants. And so you might either need to prune a little bit or just be more selective of what you put in there next year and maybe just do medium and shorter plants, you know, depending on your situation. But you can try to fill in your space rather than just putting in one row or one height of plants and try to play with the height the same you would in any bed, but obviously paying more attention to how can you stagger those heights so that each plant gets exposure to the maximum amount of sunlight available to it. Trellising is another really awesome way to manipulate your shady area. And what I like to do is if I've got a bed, and this happens for me often when I'm planting at the kind of the foundation of the house under the eaves, and where the bed might be in shade for a large portion of the day, but higher up on the wall it gets more sunlight. So I might put a climbing plant there, something like a nasturtium or a sweet pea or a clematis, that the base of the plant might get more shade than would be ideal, but the vines of that plant can start to venture upward to where it's going to get more light, and that will basically double its sun exposure than it over what it would have had it just been a something like a ground cover that's not going to reach up into that sort of second story. And so that can be a great way to work with sort of shady ground, but a little bit more sunlight up high. Again, if you are against a building or something, this is super easy to put up a trellis. If you just happen to have a shady yard where your neighbors have really tall trees, or you live next to a taller apartment building that blocks the sunlight coming into your yard, then put your trellis in the middle of your yard, wherever you really feel like, but still give it a shot and see if that will help you kind of gain some sunlight into your garden by using trellises or lattice or anything to go vertical basically with your plants. And then along those lines, if you're trying to grow certain tall crops that don't love growing in the shade, whether full shade or part shade, such as something like zinnia or maybe even sunflowers that could perform for you. You know, it's a little bit of a gamble in the shade, depends on how deep the shade is. But by doing so, they're going to be really stretching to get to the light, which could result in a weaker stem. You might think about staking those plants so that they don't fall over with that weak stem. If a tall or even a stocky plant is getting all the sunlight it needs, then it has no need to stretch. So it's going to have nice strong stems and be pretty sturdy against wind or rain or, you know, your kid running through it. But if it's stretching to get to that sunlight, it might just be a little bit weaker. So throw a few stakes in there, throw a tomato cage around it, or give it that trellis and see if that will help it kind of stay upright where it might otherwise topple over. Alrighty, and now I want to give you a few recommendations for flowers, veggies, and herbs that I grow in shade. You know, depending on where I'm living, you guys know I've had a bajillion gardens over the last 10 years, and that I'm still taking advantage of even now where I do have a veggie area that gets a ton of sun and is actually kind of hot, where we just had to put up some shade cloth this last week because we went from... It was crazy. We went from 50 degrees to like 90 degrees over the course of 3 days, which is amazing. And I'm so not complaining that it's too hot, but my plants are, their heads are spinning because they were just drowning in rain last week. And now this week, my basil has sun scald. So it's been a little bit of a whiplash weather week for us. And so I am taking advantage of some of these strategies, even now in my sunny garden. Alrighty. So for veggies, think about leafy crops and avoid fruiting crops because the fruiting crops are going to need the most amount of energy. And by this, I mean things like cucumbers or tomatoes, eggplant, even peppers, something where you're eating the fruit or the veggie basically that the plant produces. Whereas something that's leafy is you're just eating the leaf. So whether that's lettuce or spinach or arugula or even kale, it takes less energy for the plant to produce that leaf as opposed to that tomato that not only needs to form, but then it also needs to ripen, and that takes a lot more time and dedication from the plant. Root crops are kind of in between because they're still producing a fruit, but they have all that vegetation above the ground to help with the photosynthesis. So beets, carrots, things like that. I've never had them perform that well in the shade, so I don't sacrifice the space to it, honestly. But if you love fresh carrots or you love pickled beets and you want to give it a shot, then of course give it a shot and see what happens. But your leafy veggies are going to be the easiest. I would not bother putting tomatoes in the shade. I know we all love our tomatoes, and sometimes you feel really desperate and you just want to see what will happen. And of course you can see what will happen. Don't get me wrong. But don't be disappointed when it doesn't fruit the way it would if it were in full sun, just so that you're prepared. For flowers, I actually feel like there are a lot more options for shade gardens with flowers than a lot of people think of originally. I think, you know, the columbine or, foxglove or pansies, people tend to associate with shady gardens or maybe impatiens, because those are just always listed as the shade garden options. But if you are dealing with just partial shade, you can still grow so many flowers. I really wouldn't take anything off that list except maybe something like a mammoth sunflower or, you know, some of those particularly tall varieties of certain flowers, whether that's another type of sunflower or cosmos or maybe like larkspur. But foxgloves do really well in the shade. I've grown plenty of foxglove in the shade. Nasturtium, just like those vining plants we talked about before, it's got its base in the shady area, but then it can stretch its vines out to find a little bit more sun to produce more food than it would otherwise in its shady area. And so for that, you could try a mounding variety that just stays where it is, or try the vining one that will kind of explore its tendrils out into the beyond to go find that sunshine. Calendula and marigold, somewhat related flowers, pot marigold and marigold, I find to grow very well in the shade, whether that's a deeper shade or just, you know, a couple hours of afternoon shade. Milkweed has done well for me, Coreopsis, surprisingly, because that one can take a lot of heat and a lot of sun. But I think because it's a shorter flower, it's not the typical kind of cutting flower that I talk about that grows pretty tall. Coreopsis tends to stay maybe 10 inches or less, and it's done well for me in the shade. And snapdragons, surprisingly, did really well for me in the shade when I was at my last garden in Southern California. And it didn't affect the height at all of the stems. And I got some really nice bouquets out of it. So throw a snapdragon on your list. And then any other flower, really, I mean, you could try zinnia. They love full sun, of course, but maybe try a dwarf variety or something like a Persian carpet that really tops out at about 12, 15 inches anyways. It's not one of those 3 to 5 feet zinnia varieties. And just kind of see what happens. I think there's a lot more wiggle room with flowers than you realize. And so it's always worth a shot to see what you can do. And then any of those ground covers that I mentioned, like alyssum or lobelia, those all do really well in shade where they're just going to kind of creep around the other flowers. And even though they're not reaching for the light through height or vining, they still do just fine in a part shade garden. And then lastly, for herbs, this is another one where other than a few diehards like rosemary and lavender that really want sunlight and decent soil, most herbs will work. Cilantro, mint, oh my goodness, mint, you can't kill mint for anything. I was at the garden show last weekend and I was telling somebody that mint is like the cockroach of the garden world where you just can't kill it. And I'm okay with that because I love mint everywhere and I don't mind that it's invasive. But mint will do just fine in the shade. You can definitely try basil. It won't be as robust as a full sun basil, and be careful not to overwater it. I'm also hearing that a ton from people at the market, and this last weekend at the fair, people will come wanting a basil plant and they say, I can't keep basil alive. So I always tell them, make sure it's getting some sunlight and don't overwater it. And 9 times out of 10, people say, oh, I'm probably overwatering it. So especially if you're growing basil in the shade, don't overwater it. Just, you know, regular water, maybe even a little on the dry side for it, and see if that does well for you. And then thyme is very adaptable. Thyme doesn't really complain. You could give oregano a shot. Cress will definitely work. Cress isn't a terribly popular herb, but I grew it this spring. It already bolted in the heat, so it's done now. And then for dill, it's worth a shot. Dill is a taller plant. It does like sunlight, but it also bolts once it gets pretty warm, so you might be pleasantly surprised. I haven't specifically done dill in the shade yet, but I imagine that it could work because I usually grow it next to my cucumbers where it gets a little bit of shade just from the canopy of the cukes, and so I don't see why it wouldn't work in a shady garden. And then chives and parsley will do totally fine in a shady garden. And those are my tips, my lists. Basically, grow your garden as you would. If you're in a super deep shade area, like you live in the forest and you never see the sunlight, then obviously we got to talk differently than what the list is that I just gave you. But if you get, 4 to 6 hours of sun in the morning and the rest of the day is shade, give it a try. You can still grow a ton of food. You can grow plenty of flowers. You can get creative with what herbs you put in there, and there's no reason that you can't have a garden. Whether you are doing something like a raised bed or an in-ground bed really doesn't make much difference when you are doing shady versus full sun type of garden. It doesn't really play a part. Use your trellises, get creative with your spacing. Oh, that was one thing I was going to say. If you're growing in a dry shade area, and you are also limited on space, I would feel comfortable with telling you to tighten up your spacing just a little bit on your plants so that you can pack in more, because they are not going to be as robust or bushy as a full sun plant might be. Whereas if you're in that wet shade area, I would not recommend that, because you don't want lack of airflow contributing to fungal disease or that powdery mildew we talked about. I would actually either stick to standard spacing or give them just a little bit more spacing, and make sure you mulch. Don't forget that, because if there is a less dense plant canopy, then you might get those weeds trying to sprout up and compete. And so if you can just make that a non-issue right from the get-go with your mulch, then you'll be one step ahead. So think about airflow too in your shady areas. Is it going to be damp and swampy in your shady area, or is it going to be crisp and dry in your shady area. Sorry, my voice totally broke right there. And that can kind of guide your spacing in your shadier garden. Okay, that's it. I will be back next week, and I hope you guys are loving this spring weather. No matter where you're at, hopefully the weather has turned for you. I'd be very surprised if we get a hard frost anymore this year, so hopefully the frost is gone. And I shouldn't admit this, but I forgot to write down when my last frost was. I'm going to look back at my pictures because I know I took pictures of the frost so that I can put it in my notebook, and then I'll have a much more accurate number of days of our growing season up here. So, all right, have fun out in the garden, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye.